In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
I'm glad to be with you today. I have Danny Stain again with me. I'm just going to read something from the letter to the Colossians. Jesus hath delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of our sins. Danny, talk to us about the blood of Jesus.
You know, at the end of the day, for all of us, regardless of all the other things that we believe, the foundation of the gospel, the foundation of everything that comes, whether it be healing, whether it be living a life where it just that's righteous before the Lord, where there's holiness. It's all about the blood. It's the foundation. In Romans 1:16, Paul says, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation." And the foundation of the gospel is the blood of Christ that cleanses us from all sin. That was the cross. The whole message of the cross is that because there was one sacrifice, there is no need for further sacrifice. There's no need for anything because the blood of Jesus was powerful enough. And when I think about that, and I think back through about 30 years of ministry and 50 years of knowing Jesus, I realize the constant just coming to Jesus, the constant realizing that it's just because of his blood, that there's nothing that we can do except be covered by him. That we all have errors. We all go through periods of time where we sin or where we fail, and we just come back, and we come back to the blood. Lord, it's your blood that cleanses me. It's your blood that gives me life.
You know, I can't imagine why we as Catholics have the blood of Jesus on the altar, and there's so little preaching about the blood. People say, well, that makes me squirmish. That's my salvation. The blood of Jesus shed once and for all for each of us. The precious blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. He washes white as snow.
As I was thinking about the blood a few minutes ago, the passage in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 17 came to my mind, and this is probably not in a translation you have exactly like this. This is from Modern Awakening paraphrase. Papa God is the ultimate of fairness. He doesn't pick out favorites and grade them on a scale. Everyone gets a fair shake at this thing called life. So make sure you live your life on earth as a foreigner, a visitor to this planet, because this isn't the final destination for you. Take care of what you do and how you do it. Honor and respect others so they too can experience what it is that you carry. You weren't bought and aren't owned by what so many on this earth believe has bought and owns them. The things, the money, the entertainment, the social clubs, and the media that apparently owns so many on this earth is not what owns you or captures your attention. Although your heritage, your family wealth, and traditions in your family line might try to prove that differently, you don't find life in those empty and meaningless things around you. You find purpose and meaning in life because the blood of Jesus poured over you. He forgave you, and he deposited into you the meaning and hope of life. He was perfect in every way, for all eternity, perfect past and future. And he alone was picked as the focus of all of creation to follow and find meaning of life in before any of it was ever made. That purpose and his fully manifested life was finally exposed to all the earth to see and to reveal all you need to know about destiny, promise, and real life. When the blood of Jesus cleanses us, it's not just for just that one little experience we call salvation, which incidentally is not a small experience. It's a huge experience. It transforms everything. But the blood of Jesus actually transforms our whole thinking, our whole thought process. It transforms the way we live. It transforms the way we do things. We begin doing things in light of the cross. We begin doing things in light of eternity. We are bought by the blood of Jesus, that literally he ransomed us. He literally bought us back from the power of darkness. He bought us back from the power of death through the shed blood that was on the cross. When I think back to the Old Testament and the Ark of the Covenant, and what occurred with the Ark, it was basically, picture in your mind a box with two angels over it, which were cherubim. And inside this box was made of pure gold, but it covered acacia wood. But the lid of that box was hammered thin gold, so much so that it was translucent. You could see through it. It was like glass, if you will. And inside that box, this ark, was the Ten Commandments, the law, was Aaron's rod that budded, and was manna. Those three items were in the box, and they represented to God, basically, here's what he wants you to obey, the law. Here's what he wants you to believe, that he is your provider completely, and not only that he's your provider, but that he is the God of the miraculous. And so when God would look in that box himself, he would say, there's a violation against my law. They don't believe in my miracles. I've done these signs and wonders among them, but they're still not believing. I provided for them this manna every day. I've given this to them, but they don't believe. And so once a year on the Day of Atonement, there was a shed, there was a lamb that they shed its blood. They sacrifice it, and they would take that blood and they would pour it over the glass, the which isn't glass, it was gold, but they poured over there. And as a result, when Father God looked down, looking into that ark, he couldn't see the violations. All he could see was the blood. And Jesus was what became the blood. He was the blood. He was, and it was the mercy seat of God. That was where the blood was shed and poured out, and he became the mercy seat over us. He covered us. So when God looks at us, the only thing he can release is grace, because Jesus paved the way through his blood for that grace to come on our lives. We're no more does he count in any way, shape, or form the violations that we have done, because it's under the blood. It is under there. It's been covered because of what Jesus did. What he did 2,000 years ago wasn't just effective 2,000 years ago, and it wasn't just effective in what sins I may have committed up till now. It literally is in effect. It remains in effect. It is not, he doesn't need to be sacrificed again. There is no further sacrifice needed, because Jesus' blood completely covered my life. And actually, it's not just past, but he covered it in the future, which gives me this incredible joy that I am living in grace. I'm living in a fresh way under the grace of the Lord Jesus, that I can walk with him and know that it doesn't matter. He loves me anyways. He cares for me anyways. And that in those areas where I fail, he says, I've covered it. I've covered it. You're covered, Danny. You're covered by my blood.
You know, I feel that St. Paul is one of the greatest preachers of the whole Christianity, but he even messed up when he was at the Areopagus, and he had all these Greek scholars, and he preached the resurrection of Jesus, and there were only three people that came to salvation. You know what he forgot to preach? The blood. But you know what? The next line says, Paul went to Corinth. And in Corinth, he said, desired to know nothing but Jesus Christ and Him crucified. This is reality. Paul learned from his mistake. He didn't preach the blood. You see, he was ashamed because there are all these scholars. But he preached the resurrection. And he didn't do miracles either. But St. Paul, when he gets to Corinth, says, "Nothing but the cross of Jesus will I preach unto you, and you shall see the very power of God."
I'm looking at a passage here in 1 John that we often read. And it says, the message we've heard is that God is light, and in Him there's no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with Him, yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And before I read the next little bit here, it's very important to understand that when what John is communicating here, this is in 1 John 1, I began at verse 5, but that what John is communicating is that he's saying we have to not be self-deceived. We have to understand that there are issues in our life. We have to understand that sin can work in us, that literally we can allow ourselves to step into those places. And so he goes on and he says, it's important that you walk in the light, that you walk in exposure, that you walk in transparency, that with other people, that you're not hiding who you really are. You're not being a fraud. You're not putting a mask on and basically saying that, oh, I don't have any problems. I've never had any issues. I'm not really somebody who's a sinner. When you begin living that way, you're living in a self-deceived way. And the interesting thing is that what it says here is that it says, if we walk in the light, if we walk in the transparency, if we walk in the truthfulness, in the honesty, in the clarity of who we really are, as He Himself walks in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, purifies us from all sin. That literally it's the walking in truth, the transparency that releases the purification from the blood of Jesus. And then it says, if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth isn't in us. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just, and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. And so it's an amazing thing when it comes to the blood, is you have to recognize in front of the blood, these are me, this is my issue, these are mine. This is not a family issue, this is not, I haven't inherited these problems, that they're mine. And we come to Jesus and we say, Lord Jesus, You cover my sins, these are my issues. They're not somebody else's, they're mine, I own them. And as we do that, it says He cleanses us, He purifies us from sin. I think one of the things that I've recognized in so many things, you know, through the years in ministry, I've recognized that people at the as you're ministering to them, the most common, the most profound thing that people need to come to is the place of forgiveness. And often when there are people who have abused us or just been very cruel to us, we struggle with what's going on with them. And as I've said before, when we don't forgive, we will go to bed with that person, we will wake up with that person, we will have our meals with that person, and conversations that we have with other people are usually about that person because we haven't forgiven that person. And so we're constantly talking about them, we're constantly carrying them in our minds, we're constantly trying to justify ourselves against them because they've wounded us, they've hurt us. And the only way that we can actually be freed, it's under the blood. It's totally under the blood. And it's actually where we pour the blood of Jesus over them, where we begin releasing and understanding that the forgiveness that God has is not just for us, it's for them. And that we begin to release them, we forgive them, we ask God to untie the knot from our life, that we won't be walking in a way constantly having to fight these emotions that we have towards somebody else because we haven't forgiven. And so we forgive them, and at that point in time, we're honest. We are walking in transparency, and we're releasing them. And guess what? We don't go to bed with them anymore. We don't have our meals with them. We don't think about them. We don't talk about them. They're not in our lives. Now, they may be somewhere in our life, but they're not in that place in our lives that controls and causes us to become fixated on that thing. Because why? Because first of all, we forgave, but also then because the Lord forgives us. And we take the ramifications of all that happened. We say, Lord, these are issues that are now in my life that I can bring to you. I need healing. There were things that happened to me, Lord. I need healing. I've forgiven that person, but now I need you to heal. I need you to pour your blood over me and forgive me for holding bitterness in my life. And I just release. And the blood of Jesus just cleanses and washes, and it cleans us. It makes us happy. You know, joy is a phenomenal aspect of the blood of Jesus. When you're under the blood, you are filled with joy. You're filled with the delight of God.
Catherine of Siena, doctor of the church, when she would go to confession, she would say, I am going under the blood. I'm going under the blood. Let me tell you that this blood of Jesus is able to save even Hitler if he wanted to be saved. This blood of Jesus is so powerful. So powerful. But you see, you've got to come to the point that you are in need. When I take people to a forgiveness experience, what we do is we sit under a cross and we ask Jesus if we can borrow his forgiveness. Because I say to the Lord, I have no forgiveness of myself. I want to borrow your forgiveness and forgive this person who hurt me, who sinned against me, who did things that only she or he would be able to do. So under the cross, we borrow that forgiveness from Jesus because he said, Father, forgive them. They do not know what they're doing. And you know what? What I have them do is I have them hold my hand and squeeze it. And we're asking Jesus to borrow his precious blood and his forgiveness. And only when they're ready to receive it, they let go of my hand. And the power of God comes. The power of the resurrection comes.
You know, a number of years ago, I was pastoring in South Carolina, and we had a conference, and actually my brother was very resistant to the things of the Spirit during that period of time. But he came to this meeting because he knew it was important to me. And so he came, and during that meeting, somebody actually stayed behind him, unknown to him, just praying for him the whole time, knowing that God wanted to touch his life. And during one of the ministry sessions, the Holy Spirit landed on my brother, and he fell down, and actually he was manifesting demonic strongholds that were in his life. And they didn't know he was my brother, and so people were like, can you come and help us? And I was like, no, I don't really need to. You guys can take care of this, only because I knew that I needed to be in a different place with him when that was all done. And so they took him back into a back room, and for about 4 hours they just ministered to him, and during that time he confessed that actually as a teenager he had actually given his soul to the devil, that he'd asked for demons to come into his life. I mean, it was just a horrific thing that we found out. But as the Lord began touching him, and as he began confessing and renouncing the things that he had done, he went into this really deep vision, and he was literally laying under the cross, and he could feel the drops of blood falling on his life and cleansing him. And And God completely delivered him, completely healed him. And it reminds me of the verse that says, by his stripes we're healed. That literally, by the wounds of Christ, because of the blood of Jesus, we're healed. That there are things that he can go deeper than you can imagine. That there's nothing too horrific for God. I've heard everything. The most massive sins that you can imagine are things that are out there. But the blood of Jesus cleanses us. The blood of Jesus heals us. The blood of Jesus makes us new. We are people who are carried under the blood. That when we're walking under the blood, we're different people. People can't see us. They see the blood. They see the reality that, well, they used to be like that, but they're not like that anymore. We don't know exactly what happened, but something happened. Well, it was the blood. It was the blood of Christ that came and poured over our lives and restored and renewed and filled and set us free from the power of sin and death. That's what the blood does. There's a verse in Ephesians that is just amazing, where it says that we who have been separated have now been brought together. We've been absolutely brought together in this place. It says you were formerly Gentiles by birth, but now because of the blood, he himself is our peace, who has made the two one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, through the power of the cross. I'm shortening the passage just so you get it, but that's in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 14 and following. And right prior to that, now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far away, estranged from God, estranged from anything related to God. You didn't want to have anything to do with God, but now you've been brought near. And the thing that brought you near was the blood of Jesus, the blood of Christ.
We cannot speak enough about the precious blood of Jesus. We cannot speak enough about the reality of its power. We cannot speak enough about the cleansing power of the blood of Jesus. You know, Joan of Arc, when she was dying, before they put her in the fire, she wanted to go under the blood. She prayed that they would allow her to go to confession, that she would be under the blood. But they didn't, so she just called the Lord and said, Lord, I'm under the blood. I'm under the blood. All the wrongs and all the evil that I've done is under the blood. And you know what? God doesn't remind us of it ever. The devil does. You know, God, when he forgives us under the blood, he throws our sins into the deepest ocean, and he puts a sign up that says, no fishing.
You know, right now, I'm just sensing that there's somebody who's going to be listening who doesn't understand that. They've been doing everything they can to try and get, feel forgiven and feel healed, and it just keeps going back. It's a cycle in your life. And today, I'm just inviting you to invite the blood of Jesus to cover you. That and I'm just gonna just really quickly, and those who are participating in this, I would encourage you right now, Lord Jesus, would you come and just overwhelm us with your blood again? That would you come, Lord, and give us, Lord, those who've experienced it and those who haven't, Lord, would there be a fresh release and understanding of the blood of Jesus Christ that covers our sins? Lord, there's nothing we can do, but you did it all. And Lord, I'm just asking today that there are those, Father, who need you. And I believe there's going to be at least one or two that are going to call in and contact this ministry, because you're going to meet Jesus today just because of the blood of Christ. Because you realize you don't need to fix things. You don't need a self-help program. You need Jesus. You need the blood of Jesus to cleanse you from all your sin. So, Lord, I'm asking right now that you just send out your word. literally, as we're speaking about the blood, that literally, Lord, you would give people experience after experience of being covered by the blood today. That there will be a release, Lord, not only of salvation today, but there will be a release of healing. There will be miraculous things occurring in people's lives. That, Lord, there will be a sense of being honest with life and understanding the freedom that comes with that, and the freedom that comes with knowing that you alone are their Savior. You alone are their Lord. You alone have given them grace. It's amazing grace. It is amazing grace. It is so, 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 so filling and rich. Yes, Lord Jesus. Amen.
I want to invite you to the School of the Holy Spirit. It's Thursday right now, and we will be gathering tonight at 7 o'clock. And then tomorrow on Friday, we will be having a great healing service. I want to invite you to these things because God is at work. God is at work. He's doing things that's wonderful. He's going to be healing the sick. He's going to be touching the people that are lame and the people that are blind. You know, he said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has given me the power to heal the blind, to open the ears of the deaf, and to claim a jubilee year." You know what a jubilee year is? All the money that you owe gets canceled. Hallelujah. Isn't that wonderful? Well, all the sins that you owe under the blood, it's all forgiven. So come tonight, Thursday, at Holy Rosary in Winthrop, or come Friday to the Holy Healing Service. Miracles are going to happen. Miracles. Oh, God knows how to do miracles. And I want to tell you, He is wonderful. He is wonderful. And He is looking for you. I want to be where Jesus is. And that's where I want to be. And you know what? Jesus is at Holy Rosary. I'm not saying He's no place else. That's not what I'm saying. But He is at Holy Rosary as we are at doing the School of the Holy Spirit. So come tonight, Thursday, and come Friday for the healing service at 7 o'clock. You are very, very welcome. May the name of the Lord Jesus be praised, and may the name of the Lord Jesus be blessed. God bless you.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.